Thank you, children, for reminding us about the power of God and the importance of God and the praise that we are to give Him. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you on a beautiful day the Lord has made. We have plenty of reasons to still rejoice and be glad in each and every day. Attention deficit disorder. Have you been diagnosed with it? In a way, each one of us could be diagnosed with ADHD, spiritually speaking. And while there is more that can go with ADHD, we recognize that we as children of God have a tendency to lose our focus from time to time. That is, our focus on the Word of God and living the life that God expects of us. Awareness of this is important for us, as well as then taking steps to address it, to help keep our focus where it needs to be, like we're doing here this morning. And so we will zero in on, once again, what it is that we are to focus on throughout this life, and what at times stands in the way of keeping us from doing just that. With those thoughts in mind, we turn our attention to the invocation on page 3 of our service bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
O Lord, keep our ears attentive to your word through word and song. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues to all generations.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
And our opening song, Jerusalem the Gold.
Thank you.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, in your bountiful goodness, keep us safe from every evil of body and soul. Make us ready with cheerful hearts to do whatever pleases you.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
On this Sunday, a reading from Holy Scripture, first of all, through the prophet Isaiah, the 5th chapter, where we are reminded of the fact that God offers us the life we truly need. And yet, what do people have a tendency to do instead? I will sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a winepress as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
In keeping with the overall theme of focus, a reminder that we're not there yet, but with each passing day, we draw closer. A reading from Holy Scripture, Philippians chapter 3. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For, as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. The word of the Lord.
Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song.
The Lord has made his salvation known. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Make music to the Lord with the harp. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. I invite you to stand as Abel for our gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 21st chapter, where Jesus talks poignantly about those who reject him. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "They will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied, "and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants, who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the Scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit." This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord.
Please be seated. Before we turn to our hymn of the day, are there any
children who want to come forward for a devotion? If not, that's fine. Oh, we got one. We got two. And three. You can sit on the cushions there. Do you want to come up?
<You're okay.
laughs> Yes. There's room. You can sit on both sides. I won't make you sit there more for an hour, you know. You're good. How you doing today? Thanks for singing, being here. We're going to play a little game. There we go. The game is called Focus. I'm going to keep talking, and I need you to stay focused on me, okay? We ready? I'm going to keep talking, and we're going to all stay. Oh, man. We already didn't win that round. Let's try it again. All right? The object of the game is to stay focused on me while I'm talking, okay? Here we go. So this is what we're going to do today. How are things going? How are you doing? Okay? All right. We won that round. Good. So we're talking about focus today, especially focus on God's word and Jesus, who's at the heart of that word and what Jesus has done for us. But sometimes there are things in life that distract us, and we lose our focus. And so instead of staying focused on Jesus, we allow, maybe it's friends, right? They distract us from paying attention to Jesus. Or maybe it's game time, the games we're playing. They keep us from keeping our focus on Jesus. Well, we're here this morning to be mindful of the fact that no matter if we're with our friends, we want to stay focused on Jesus, and Jesus tells us to be kind, right, and good with our friends and be an example for our friends. And we also keep the focus on Jesus when we're playing games. You know, we don't cheat or we play fair. We don't get upset when we don't win the game that we would like to win. But there's also a time like we're doing today where we focus on Jesus by hearing his word. So we're reminded of what he did for us out of love, died on the cross for our sins so that we could be good with God and get into heaven. That's the goal. That's why we want to stay focused. And so when with our friends and we're playing games, we're in the word to hear Jesus, how he wants us to act when we're with our friends and playing games so that we can stay focused on the path which leads to heaven. So thanks for being here, staying focused on Jesus, who has won for you forgiveness of sins and also opened up heaven to us and has given us his word that we can read and sing so that we can stay focused all the way to heaven. Let's pray about that. Jesus, thank you for giving us focus on you. And thank you for your word, which keeps us focused. Even when we're playing with our friends, or when we're playing games, or when we're in school, or whatever we're doing, help us keep the focus always on you, your love for us, and how we are to love others. In your name we pray this. Amen. Stay focused and go back to your seats. Thank you. And we'll continue then with our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance, thanks to God our Father and our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning. Turning back to these words from Philippians, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this earth so that we one day would be able to live with him forever in heaven. How many times have you heard the phrase or even used the phrase, and something like this phrase, You get out of it what you put into it. Or small effort leads to small result. Or taking God's own word, when he writes in Scripture, we reap what we sow. Not everyone, I realize, is into sports, and that's okay. However, some sports analogies fit in well with the realities of life. Now, true, such analogies can be found in music and on the job. For example, using the sports analogies, if an athlete in training decides halfway through the season to back off or to not finish or go only halfway in certain training exercises, what most likely will be the result? How many do not then finish strong? Or even come away with a sense of accomplishment because they have stopped or put on hold what put them in a good position in the first place? Well, sadly, too many Christians do a similar thing. They take a similar approach to Christianity, forgetting that Christianity is a way of life. And we are to be living this way of life with a sense of constant state of training. Now, we are reminded of this in the words that are before us in the book of Philippians, where we are encouraged to keep focused on what is ahead. And what is ahead for us, first of all, is heaven. Heaven is waiting for us. This is possible because Jesus Christ came down to this earth to make it possible. To make it possible, first of all, he had to pay for our debts. I mean, you and I, we have racked up a lot of debt. I mean, you may have your car paid for, your home paid for, your credit cards paid for, but we still have a lot of debt that we have racked up. And we rack it up each and every day of our life in thoughts, words, and actions. That debt is sin. In fact, one version of the Lord's Prayer, in place of the word sin or trespass, uses the word debts. A fitting term, because what does debt tend to do to people? It tends to weigh us down, to hold us back. And that's what sin does to us. It weighs us down. It holds us back, whatever that sin might be. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's just a habit we found ourselves into, and we know it's not a good habit, but we just can't seem to get over it, through it. And then there's just the sins that we just don't even probably give thought of, that they're a sin. With our language and how we treat people and how we talk about people. I mean, those are all debts that we continually rack up, debts that need to be reconciled. And we're not going to be able to reconcile those debts. But thankfully, there was someone who has been able to reconcile our debts. Not so that we can continue to rack up debts, but so that we can be free of debt and also then have the proper motivation to recognize what puts us in debt and avoid such debts. And that's Jesus, who lived a debt-free life for us. He who had no sin became sin for us who have racked up that debt. And he took our debt to the cross, where he paid for that debt in full. It's not like he gave us a loan that we got to pay back. No, because we never could. But it's paid in full. And our proper response then is, thank you for paying my debt. And as part of my thanks, Lord, help me not rack up that debt again and again and again. But when we do find ourselves racking up debt, Jesus has an answer for that too. He directs us right back to the cross, where he paid for that debt. So that debt doesn't weigh us down, and the guilt that comes with that debt. It is finished. We have been reconciled before God. And with that, then, the death of Jesus on the cross and the reconciliation, the forgiveness, the freeing of debt that has come with it, he was laid in the tomb. And 3 days later, he rose again. And because he rose again, not only are we assured that he is the Son of God and our reconciliation has been made, but also that because he lives, we too shall live. And then he told his disciples, and they have passed on to us through Holy Scripture, that he has gone back into heaven, and in heaven he continues to intercede for us, and he prepares a place for us to be with him forever in heaven. Because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross and sealed by the empty tomb, heaven has been opened up to us. And through the gift of faith, that's a gift we are able to receive and look forward to one day getting all the benefits of. In the meantime, we push forward. Now, this gift of heaven and the cancellation of debt so that we can get into heaven, that is available to everybody. But sadly, too many people reject it. And even people who have come to faith in Jesus, sadly, too many of them, one-time professing Christians, have become distracted and lost their way and lose out. It's like in that first reading, God has planted a vineyard, right? And he has expectations, but instead of living those expectations, when he comes to examine the vineyard, what does he see? He sees people not focused where they need to be, but focused on things that are temporary. Thankfully, then, through the Word, God uses that Word to direct us back to what has paid for our debt and what has been opened up to us. Now, that heaven that is ours by grace through faith, that connection is personally made to us through the means of grace, the gospel, in the Word itself and in the sacrament of baptism, and reassured to us each time we partake of the sacrament of Holy Communion. God calls people to himself through those means of grace. He is the one, as we're reminded of here in Philippians, that has taken hold of us. We don't take hold of God because by nature we're not in a position to take hold of God, so he needs to take hold of us, and thankfully by his grace he does. And he desires not to let go of us. But he also knows too often we're squirming. We're trying sometimes too often to get out of God's grasp on us. Because we can reject him. We can squirm away from him, even though he's given us what we need to stay close to him. Because he does want heaven for everybody. But Scripture reminds us he does not take pleasure in the death of anyone, but wants all people to come to a knowledge of his truth about the way of salvation and be saved. So this invite is to all. Go and make disciples of all nations, not just a few, to all, so that all will have the opportunity to be connected to Jesus for life and eternity. And so he's given us the means of grace not only to bring us to faith, but also to keep us in that faith. Again, with that vineyard analogy, Jesus makes it very clear what needs to happen. We can also add then the words of John 15, where Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Remain in me and you will bear good fruit, but disconnect yourself from the vine." What's going to happen? Nothing. In fact, you're going to die. But connected to the vine, we live. How the importance then of staying connected to the means of grace, the life source. Maybe we don't recognize a vine dying right away, but if it doesn't receive the nutrients and the water it needs, eventually what's going to happen? Same with us. As we pull away from God's Word, we may not notice it right away, or others may not notice it right away, but if we stay disconnected, eventually we won't even be aware of what we're to be connected to and why. And so then Jesus encourages us in Hebrews 12, for example, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who has won us salvation, including the way to heaven. And so each time then we are in the Word, we're worshiping together, and we're in the Word through devotions, and we're partaking of the sacrament of Holy Communion, we're getting a little foretaste of heaven, of what it's like to be in the presence of God, yet without distraction one day. Now we get distracted. But thankfully, even though we're distracted, even during the worship service, the Holy Spirit can still use the nuggets of God's Word to build us up and encourage us. So never take for granted what the Lord is able to do, even through a little bit. The more we are in the Word, the more we will reap. And so we're encouraged to keep focused on what is ahead, which is heaven. But in the meantime, until we get there, we need to stay alert to distractions. We need to recognize what is it that keeps us from being in the Word and living that Word as God wants us to. First of all, spiritually. What can serve as a distraction in your life spiritually? Well, for some it might be doubts. Does God really love me? People can struggle with that love of God. And anytime we struggle with the love of God, where can we look first and foremost? To be reminded of God's love for me. Even if I'm not living up to His standards perfectly, which we cannot do, go right back to the cross. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us. While we are Christians and having doubts, God still loves us so much that He sent His Son. The cross doesn't go away. And get in the Word where God reassures us through His promises that I am with you always. Never will I leave you nor forsake you. In all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. Maybe we don't see it now, but again, what is His goal for us ultimately is to get us to heaven. And so sometimes He allows rough patches to come into our life to get us refocused on the path. Because we know if life is too easy, what sometimes happens? We get distracted. Maybe it's that works mentality. You know what? I don't need the Word so much. I'm a good person. God's going to look at that and say, yeah, that you're good enough. You know, you did some good deeds on July 22nd. But what about July 23rd and July 24th and July 25th? Well, let's not count those days. Those are bad days. It doesn't work that way. No one, Scripture says, will be saved by observant of the law. The law points out our need for a Savior. The gospel reminds us who that Savior is. Or maybe spiritually, we're not even in the Word at all because of other distractions. Paul touches on that too. How many people are enemies of the cross of Christ? Their focus is more on the things of this world, which are temporary. Sometimes maybe it's guilt over past sins. We just can't get rid of that guilt. That doesn't mean, though, your sins aren't forgiven. It might be a cross that you have to endure is dealing with the angst and the guilt and that haunt us day after day. Just because we cannot forget doesn't mean we're not forgiven. And then that drives us back to the cross again. Because we realize we cannot make up for what we have done, what we have said to someone, what we have done to someone, to ourselves even when we were younger or even now as we grow up. But thankfully, the cross overcomes all that. Maybe it's physical. Maybe physical distractions get in our way. Maybe it's work. I mean, sometimes we just can't avoid work. We get called in or we do emergency services or whatever it might be. But sometimes work can just become a convenient excuse. You know, I got to work from home today, and I probably should check these emails. Well, could they wait 90 minutes? Family sometimes can become a distraction. Stay with me. You don't need to go to church. What's that all about? Or you really believe in that stuff? How could you? And there's other ways that family can become distractions. Sleep sometimes. We don't get enough sleep, and so we get tired and we fall asleep when we meant to wake up with the alarm, but we kept hitting that snooze, and pretty soon we just took a baseball bat to the alarm clock and we just slept right through an opportunity to be in church or to be around a Bible study or whatever it might be. I mean, too often we can get caught up in the earthly temporary things. And we just need to be aware that these can become distractions. And one or two distractions in themselves, you know, may not harm the faith, but eventually they can add up. And before we know it, we're not even here anymore. And if we're not even here, how many people really take the time to be in the Word, stay connected to them on their own? And when we're not connected, where are we not going to be one day? Now's the time to be aware of distractions and stay focused on what is ahead. And we do that then through active training. We're mindful of our identity and purpose. We are called children of God. We have been given a citizenship that cannot be taken away from us unless we walk away from it. That citizenship lasts longer than our American citizenship, which is prized. But there's an even better citizenship. That's the one that Jesus won for us on the cross and sealed by the empty tomb. And as citizens of heaven, then, while we are here on this earth, we are to be the salt and light of this world. We are to be the example setters of, yes, we can get distracted, but not to allow those distractions to get the best of us. There should be something different about us. We are to be the aliens and strangers in this world. Not strange in that way, but different. Why aren't you going along with the way of the world? Because that's not who we are. That's not who we're not supposed to be. And as we stay focused then on what Christ has won for us and is waiting for us, that helps us deal with the present realities, the harsh realities of life at times. Because this life is temporary. We're reminded of that time and time again, even in our own frailty. How do we deal with this temporary nature of things? How do we deal with disasters and so forth? Well, we know there's a life to come where those disasters and frailties won't impact us any longer. To help us, Paul reminds us by inspiration to keep our focus on those who have gone before us, maybe recently, or in Hebrews 11, the heroes of faith, who endure challenges and distractions just as we do. And yet, by the grace of God, we're able to hold on and keep the focus where it needs to be. There's a reason, too, why Paul talks about we're running a race. And so a runner doesn't look behind or to the side because that slows down. Rather, they stay focused on ahead. And when they get to that, and they get closer to the edge, what are they doing? They're leaning forward. When I was going through this, it kind of reminded me of the football days in practice when we're pushing the sled. Half effort wasn't going to move that sled, especially when the 300-pound coach was on it. So he'd tell us, put your shoulder into it. And then there'd be multiple of us who would put our shoulder into it. That's how we're supposed to go through life. Put your shoulder into it. Halfway won't cut it. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, and mind. So what does that call for from us? It calls for patience, commitment. See what happens, you don't get enough sleep at night, you get a little emotional. It calls for focus on what God has won for us. So, to wrap this up, in a way, heaven is like that trip that we have been planning for some time. And we got it booked, and the thought of it lingers on in our mind until we go on that trip. But heaven, unlike that trip, heaven is a trip that we will not have to come back from to the realities of routine living. So, dear friends, stay eager for the trip of a lifetime, obtained for us through the merits of Jesus Christ, aware the whole time until we get there of the distractions that are before us. yet not losing our God-given focus along the way. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join in a confession of faith which sums up what Jesus has done for us and has waiting for us. On page 9, the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
We continue with the prayer of the church, and so we pray. Lord God, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day.
We are not worthy of all the mercies you show us.
You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick, cheer those who are sad, calm those who are distressed, and comfort all who are old and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant your blessings to every nation on earth, where there are wars, trade, and peace, where there is hatred, let it be healed, where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come.
Lord, you love the cheerful giver, who with open heart and hand blesses freely as a river that refreshes all the land. Grant us then the grace of giving with a spirit large and true, that our life and all our living we may consecrate to you. Continue to shower grace upon grace on those celebrating a birthday this week, and help our married couples keep the spark in their marriage, moved by your love for each of them. Hear us now, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory.
And we also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
We pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace.
Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. New Bible study series begins today here in the church proper. We're looking at the topic, Proclaiming Peace Through Jesus. Handouts are online or also available on the table where you get the bulletins. Sunday school for younger children starts at 9:15 in the chapel. You can meet there, and everyone's welcome to go for those first 15 minutes to be part of the sing-along, and then you can come back here for study. And we do have coffee and water and other treats in the lobby. Please help yourself and stay around. Lutheran Women's Missionary Society, the rally is coming. There's still time to support LWMS with the mission box offerings. If you want to learn more about the missions that they support, check out the information board or go to the Lutheran Women's Missionary Society website. For the rally that's coming up on the 21st in Reading, everyone, you know, is invited, not just women, to that rally. So just, even though we had attendance taken last week, if you still want to come, last minute decision, let us know, and we'll see what, you know, we can make arrangements for that. Check out the weekly news for other things that are going on here at church and school. A lot of events coming up in October and also the rest of the fall. Before we get to the school video, just to highlight what's going on through the school in the first quarter, our stewardship chairman, Chuck Klinker, is going to offer us some words of encouragement.
Good morning. This being the end of our first quarter of the fiscal year, it's probably time for a little update on how we're doing. Well, God be praised, because currently we are in good financial position. However, there are some trends over the past few months that we want to bring before you with a hope and prayer that we remain in solid financial position. When we visited last June, approaching the end of the fiscal year, offerings were behind. But we did finish strong and ended the fiscal year with offerings for the operating fund essentially on budget. This fiscal year to date, our operating offerings have also fallen behind. This is a typical summer slump that's been rather consistent over the past years. And in years past, we have caught up in the following months. This year, we are a bit farther behind than in other years, so some extra effort will be needed. Fortunately, our school enrollment is a little bit higher than budgeted, so that extra cash that comes in during the enrollment period is helping us out to pay the bills. You also will recall that our Not Without Purpose II offerings are to reduce our mortgage and also provide funds for campus improvements and for the tuition assistance fund. We pay the monthly mortgage obligation plus extra principal first, and when offerings are short, the tuition assistance fund and the fund for campus improvements suffer. Well, these offerings are continuing to lag. We are paying the mortgage, but the tuition assistance fund and the campus improvement fund are suffering. So as we go forward, we ask that you prayerfully consider your offerings. Catch up if you have fallen behind, and see if you can reprioritize things to allow you to increase your offerings to the operating fund and Not Without Purpose too, as your means may allow. Once again, many thanks to the many volunteers, some known and some unknown, who continue to give of their time and talents in maintaining and improving our grounds and facilities. The results are obvious as we look around our buildings and the wonderful landscaping around the grounds. Thank you very much, and have a blessed Sunday.
Hello, St. Mark's. My name is Darren Vogt, and I have the privilege to serve as the principal of St. Mark's Lutheran School here in Citrus Heights, California. Once a quarter, it is my responsibility to give an update about the happenings of our school. So let's take a look at some of the things that have happened and some of the things that are coming up in the near future. We are off to a great start to the 54th school year at St. Mark's. We currently have 80 students enrolled from junior kindergarten to eighth grade. We also are blessed to have all 5.5 teachers retained from the previous school year teaching again. As always, if you know of anyone that may be interested in finding a new school, please do not hesitate to share with them more information about St. Mark's. Our students have been very busy in the classroom by getting used to classroom procedures, diving into textbooks, and demonstrating their God-given gifts and abilities. Our students have also gone on several field trips already this school year. The junior K and kindergarten visited the Sacramento Children's Museum. The first and second graders picked some apples at Apple Farm. The third and fourth graders struck gold at the Mother Lode River Center. And the 5th through 8th grade learned about Newton's laws of motion at Topgolf. They all sound like great field trips, and I know the students had a great time. Our volleyball teams have already wrapped up their very quick and busy seasons. Our A team played hard and showed some great growth and team building this year, while our B team went undefeated and took home the championship. Congratulations to everyone, and we look forward to adding another banner in our gymnasium this year. This week, we are officially beginning the registration process for our annual St. Mark's Youth Basketball League, or known as SMIBL. This community event is for students in kindergarten through second grade. This is always a big community event for us, as we always run out of spots available. So register early so that you don't miss out on the fun. This year, our students will also be going home at the end with a brand new St. Mark's basketball. If you are interested in helping run this event, please contact our Smibble coordinator, Mr. Wall. It's hard to believe that the end of the first quarter is on October 19th. There will be no school on October 20th for Staff Development Day, and report cards will be coming home on October 23rd. Our next big event on our campus is our annual Trunk or Treat that will take place on October 27th from 6 to 8 p.m. This is always a big event for us, as last year we had over 400 people on our campus. We are looking for people to come and park their car, either decorated or not, and pass out candy in our safe environment for children. We also have a little competition going on where the best decorated trunk will win a JBL Bluetooth speaker. If you are unable to make it, please consider donating bags of candy to help us restock cars that run out of candy. We hope to see you there. We have some other major happenings coming up in the near future. October 31st will be an early dismissal as we host parent-teacher conferences. Then, November 1st through 3rd, there is no school as our teachers will be attending a teachers' conference in Peoria, Arizona. November 10th is our annual fall formal mother-son, father-daughter dance. November 15th, we will be hosting our annual spelling bee competition. November 20th through the 24th, there will be no school for Thanksgiving break. December 9th, we will be having our annual live nativity on our campus. And December 17th is our annual children's Christmas service. Our theme for the school year is We Are One by One. Our students are truly enjoying coming to school every day and learning more about how our Savior Jesus won us back from sin. What a great message that we all need to remember each and every day. Until next time, St. Mark's family, remember,
we are one by one.
We are one by one.